Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Splashdown, particularly for me, was my Phoenix Rising moment. So you hit the water and you don't even feel really that bump that you get. Instead, it's just pure excitement and joy because you know you did it and you did it well and you didn't die.
I said, well, how would you feel if I was buying a $6 million house and you knew that the realtor who was selling it to us knew we were married and was making sexy talk with me at the showing of the house? And she said, I'd kill her. That's it.
She wouldn't know. Can you keep a secret?
I just don't like the whole idea. Makes me feel hinky about the whole high-end real estate market.
Show you the
nasty
bedroom.
Rudderless people. That's what I think.
Rudderless. Morally rudderless.
We have Touchdown Charlie living in the house. Flag football Friday night. Two TDs scored by stellar running back Michael William O'Mara.
This is great news.
That is good news.
Very, very, very happy. I know you'd be thrilled.
Carla's genetics. Finally.
Yeah. Oh, 100% Carla's. Yeah. I come from a line of people that put butter on donuts.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Our taping time today. First of all, let me say welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. Donner Lake, California, Garland, Texas, North Pole, New York, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Christmas Cove, Maine, Santa Claus, Indiana. How's that? Do you understand what we did there?
Duh. Yes, it's a Christmas thing.
Anyway, yes. We're heard all over the place, and we're happy to have you with us. We are taping a little later on our schedule today, so a lot of people might be wondering, where are we? But we're a little later because we wanted to accommodate a schedule for somebody who is very, very, very special. And I'm very, very excited to bring in Dr. Cyan Proctor, who is really, really somebody you might not know the name right away, but I will tell you all about her. Dr. Proctor is an American geology professor, science communicator, and commercial astronaut. She was launched into Earth orbit on September 15th, 2021, just a few short months ago. And she, oh man, I am starstruck right now. I read all about you, and then I watched all about you, and I will tell you, there is a fabulous documentary on Netflix. If you want to watch it, it's called Countdown, and you'll see the story of the first civilians that went into space and had more courage in their pinky fingers than I do in my entire body. I'm going to give the bio, and then we'll get to Dr. Proctor. She is the first black female pilot of a spacecraft and fourth black female ever to fly in space. Inspiration 4, that is, she is a crew member for Inspiration 4. That was the first all-civilian crew and SpaceX first class of astronauts, non-NASA, which I think is fabulous. 20-plus years as a geoscience professor at Maricopa County Community College System with a PhD in curriculum development. But that's not her passion, ladies and gentlemen, because she is not only a writer of poetry, but she is a fabulous artist. Mm-hmm. And she was selected, one of the exclusive four, to be on Inspiration 4, the first civilian flight, 3 days in space, documented as well as you can document anything by the documentary Countdown on Netflix. And it's just an honor to have you on, and I have so many questions. Dr. Proctor, how are you today? How you doing?
I'm doing stellar. I've been to space.
You're doing interstellar. Anyway, can I get my dumbest astronaut question out of the way? Because I believe in my 342-year career of broadcasting, podcasting, everything else, I have never had an astronaut. I'm trying to think. I don't think so.
Yay, maybe, I'm a first.
Look, and if it was, I know we've talked a lot about Buzz Aldrin, but I don't know if he was ever on that. So I'm going to ask you this question first. I know it might sound dumb, but I don't think it's ever been answered for me. What does splashdown that moment that we always see from a distance, and they never seem to have the cameras rolling, what does splashdown feel like? When you're finally, when you feel that, is the fear gone? Is it that last moment of tension? Tell me what that feels like, and then we'll get to all the other questions I have for you, Doctor.
You know, splashdown, particularly for me, was my Phoenix Rising moment. So you hit the water and you don't even feel really that bump that you get. Instead, it's just pure excitement and joy because you know you did it and you did it well and you didn't die.
You didn't die.
You're like, woohoo! That's what splashdown is. You didn't die.
It was it's so compelling to watch your story and the story of all your fellow astronauts to do this. This was for you in particular. This is a dream for you for many years that included a setback where you didn't get it for NASA, and you were obviously crushed by that. But years later, the opportunity presented itself, and I, of all the astronauts, and they're all terrific in their own right, we'll ask you about a few of them. The joy that you show during the entire process, I think the joy is so significant. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It superseded the fear about it. You always seemed like you were just, this is what I'm doing. This is what I was meant to do. I mean, I got that vibe looking at you when I was watching the documentary.
You know, and that's exactly how I felt going through all the training and just when I finally got selected and I knew I was going to space, it was like my whole life came into focus and I was like, oh, finally, what I was meant to do is here. And it just was that excitement and thrill. And it's funny because people ask me, was I ever afraid? And my answer is no, I was always afraid that this moment would never come, that somehow I missed it, or that it would slip away before I actually get to space. Because, you know, when you get the call saying, yes, you're selected for the Inspiration 4 crew, that's great. That's like saying, yeah, you're going to go to the Olympics, but you still have to win the gold medal. and so you still have all of this time where you're like, I can't get injured. I can't get sick. I got to do it right. I've got to make sure that I'm competent and SpaceX, you know, certifies me to be the mission pilot and to go to space. And so it was 6 months of, okay, no whammies, you know, let's just make this happen. And that's what I was most afraid of, was that it was going to slip through my fingers again. It was going to be taken away from me again.
Yeah, and it's one of the things I noticed about it. You get selected, and that's an incredible rush. And then the serious work begins, and they make it very clear to you and your fellow astronauts that if you don't respond to the training in the right way, that while this is great to be selected, it may not come to fruition if there is any kind of setback in the training where you can't handle it, because you go through all the training that astronauts are supposed to go through.
That's absolutely correct. And so you can imagine how, you know, on edge we all were, because it was about getting selected, but also proving that you were capable to be able to take on this endeavor, because it was such a historic mission. And, you know, the goal was to not only to do it, but to do it right and to do it well. And so even right up to the end, they're like, you know, when we went into quarantine, don't get COVID because the rest of the crew will launch without you.
And oh my God, how horrible would that have been if that had happened at the last break? Yeah, Oscar, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm monopolizing the conversation because I'm a fan.
We all are. And thank you for making the time for us. I'm fascinated by the idea that civilian space travel has come as far as it has. And the reality, I think, Mike, we have seen this even through this documentary, that someone can train for 6 months, and that I assume will be shorter as the reps come through, and then go to space.
That's
is mind blowing.
Yeah,
it really is. And you know, and a lot of people are probably thinking, well, you know, I just saw Michael Strahan go to space and William Shatner. Well, suborbital and orbital, you both end up going to space, but orbital takes a lot more energy, a lot more mechanics, and it's a lot more dangerous as a result of that. And so we're the first all-civilian mission to orbit, and the only ones, me and my crew, that have made it successfully to orbit as civilians, not just civilians, but I mean just an all civilian crew, because civilians have gone up to the International Space Station before and have flown before, but this is the first time that they weren't accompanied by a NASA astronaut or a European Space Station European Space Agency astronaut, kind of on that federal level.
One of the things that I found fascinating in the documentary is when it would put up 218 days until launch, or 100. Has 218 days ever seemed so fast to you? I can only imagine that once you got chosen and you realized that you had this finite, pinpointed destination, how did that time pass for you?
It was nonstop acceleration because there was so much to learn. You know, I'm a geoscientist by training, and to become the mission pilot, I really had to become a systems engineer.
Right.
And so it was all about the fact that the Dragon capsule is autonomous. So that means that it's supposed to go through all of the steps of the flight computer goes through all of these steps to bring you to orbit, you know, function while on orbit, and then bring you back down. But, you know, me, my commander Jared, and myself are trained as the commander and pilot to be there for emergencies and contingencies. And then there are things that we actually have to execute. So we do get to push buttons and stuff.
Wow. Well, you were on your flight when you're talking about your commander, Jarek Isaacman, who was the mission commander, and you were the mission pilot. And, you know, it was interesting about you in particular. This is why I thought you were so special on this mission. Not you had a camaraderie with everyone, but in particular with is it Haley, the young lady?
Yes.
who was a cancer survivor and actually works at St. Jude. And the mission, by the way, raised $200 million at the very least for St. Jude Children's Hospital. But your camaraderie with your commander, who was, I think, as far as a civilian goes, probably couldn't get a civilian who was better prepared for this type of activity, right? You had a great relationship with him. Talk about that for a second, because it was fun to watch.
Yes. So Jared's absolutely amazing. And he's an extremely successful business person. And he was able to fund the Inspiration 4 flight through SpaceX. But he did it in such a thoughtful way because, you know, he would say, this isn't something that you take your fishing buddies on. This is because we're going to be the first ones. We got to do it right. Yes, he did with the, trying to raise $200 million for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And at last count, we're at about $240 million.
Wow.
And so the largest fundraising in St. Jude history to try and end childhood cancer. But then also to take civilians, people he didn't know along, and to open up opportunity in that way, and not influencers. Nobody had heard of Chris and Haley, and a few people might have heard of me a little bit, but not, I had 6,000 Twitter followers when I got this amazing honor. And so you think that, he decided that he was going to take regular civilians to show that this could be done, that you could take people and who have always dreamed about going to space, or maybe even never dreamed of going to space, because Haley didn't even think it was an option as a childhood cancer survivor. So it was something that, she just didn't think would ever happen in her lifetime, and then take us, have us bond as a crew, and then make it to orbit successfully and return. It's pretty amazing.
One of the things that I didn't get total clarity on, the selection process, because when you consider the demands that are going to be put on all of you in such a short period of time, I wondered how they handled that. The balance of all of your crew members was so well done. This very, very, in a way, rapid process to get you guys all selected. Was there any kind of, did you ever get into the criteria of what it was? Or did you, no, I got it, I'm fine. I mean, what was it?
Well, no, it's amazing that I feel like Jared, and he says the stars aligned because he got three fantastic people to fly with him in space. Because, you just never know. First, there was the selection of Haley. So he knew that he was going to be working with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. He knew that he wanted to fly a childhood cancer survivor. And then St. Jude helped him find Haley. And so And then the other two seats were contests. And when you think of a contest, man, you don't know what you're getting.
Oh, that's so, right. They were Kaplan contests, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the generosity seat was the one that Chris Zembrowski won. And it was if you donated to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital during the month of February under the banner of Inspiration 4, your name got thrown into the hat. And so you're randomly picking somebody and you're hoping that that personality is going to mesh really well. And so it's interesting that, you know, you in that process to get somebody that you can get along with and enjoy and actually bond and become family with. And then my seat is even more interesting because it was through Twitter. So you had to open up a Shift 4 shop and show your entrepreneurial spirit. And then you had to create a 2-minute and 20-second Twitter video on why they should, you know, send you to space. And there were a lot of influencers who joined in and put their name in. And at the time, I had about 6,000, you know, followers on Twitter. And I billed myself as an artist and a poet, and I wrote an original poem. And within 3 days, I got 70,000 people to view and like my poem.
Wow.
Which put me in the running.
I'm so glad they didn't send up Khloe Kardashian. I really am. I just, I can't tell you. Let's get to the nuts and bolts about space travel, because it really is, it's the real deal. When you're talking about going into orbit, as opposed to the Shatner type of thing, it is a different animal totally. And primarily the danger involved. I mean, this is exactly what space travel was like even back in the Apollo days. You're going into orbit. You certainly don't show it, at least in the videos that I have seen of you, but how do you handle the fear, and when did you feel, if at all, the most tense during the mission?
Oh, you know, it was nothing but pure excitement on liftoff. It was funny because as we counted down, you know, to the last few minutes and the flight computer takes over and all that. And you're just like, I'm like, okay, we're not scrubbing. We're doing this. Let's do this. Light this rocket. And then you're just enjoying the process because, you know, we were trained so well by SpaceX that we were just prepared for if something went wrong. The only time when you're a little bit nervous, or at least I was if on reentry, because what happens is when you launch into space, you've got to get into orbital velocity, which is 17,500 miles per second, right? Or miles per hour. Oh, per hour.
Yeah. And, I corrected an astronaut.
You did. There's right, my brain there slipping. 17,500 miles per hour. And what's happening is that all of that energy has to be dissipated to come back into the atmosphere. And, you know, and you just don't know if your heat shields are going to hold up. You don't know if your drogues and your mains are going to come out correctly. And if they don't, that's where Jared and I have some action that we can take. And so you're really concentrating on that reentry part to make sure that you don't die on splashdown.
Does the capsule get hot? Do you feel the heat increase, the temperature?
No. It's pretty well controlled. But what's interesting though is because we have two windows, that little circular windows out at where our feet are, you know, we could see like little the sparks and the heating a little bit of the capsule as it was going by.
I have a quick follow up, Mike. You mentioned Apollo. The connection to the space mission overall and the space race is deep within your family, and it's chronicled within the documentary.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about your father and Guam and the Apollo space mission?
Yeah, yes. Your mom and dad weren't with you on this. They had passed, and they mm-hmm. obviously you mentioned them multiple times in the documentary.
Yes. So I was, you know, fortunate, had wonderful parents who have now passed away, but I was born on Guam. Me and my brother were born there because my dad was working at the NASA tracking station during the Apollo missions. So we were there from 1966 to 1970. And, right, the Neil Armstrong, Apollo 11 moon landing. I was born 8.5 months later, so I consider myself a moon celebration baby. And, you know,
that's awesome.
Well, that the youngest of four, so right. You're like,
yeah,
okay.
There you go. Oh, that's and your sister looks exactly like you. I mean, you're older. That's your older sister?
That is. I have three siblings, two older brothers and an older sister. And so they were already born, my older brother and my sister, when we were on Guam. So my brother Langley has memories from that time. And then my brother Chris and I were born there. And then my dad left NASA right after I was born and went into computers, and we moved into, you know, snow in Minnesota. But I grew up with Neil Armstrong's autograph to my father on the wall and all this other NASA memorabilia. And it was interesting because I didn't realize it until the movie Hidden Figures came out, but I kept looking, you know, when movies like Apollo 13 and Apollo 11 and, you know, The Right Stuff, all of those kinds of movies, I kept looking for people like my dad in the archival films and videos and stuff, but never saw anybody, people of color. And I kept thinking, what? I know my dad worked for NASA. And it's one of those things where if we didn't have the memorabilia, you know, it would have been like he was erased from history to some extent. But we have amazing. That proof that, you know, he contributed to the advancement of human spaceflight
and modern history
modern history and put the first human on the moon and successfully.
They were such obviously a great influence on you to do that. And because your dad worked for NASA because he was involved in the Apollo program, was that a catalyst for you from when you were a small child?
You know, it's kind of interesting because I came out of the womb wanting to be a pilot. I don't even know. My parents were like, we don't know where this child came from. but I had always loved military aviation, basically fighter pilots. And as a kid, even though I used to watch like shows like Baa Baa Black Sheep, and I know all the World War II, planes and F-16, F-14, you know, all of the military planes. And my dad always encouraged me and took me to the model store where I could pick out planes to build. And he put me in the Civil Air Patrol. But I always saw being an astronaut through becoming a pilot. And even though I never saw, you know, there were no black female pilots and there were no women fighter pilots that I had as role models, I never thought that I couldn't do that. And my dad, my parents never said I couldn't. Parents sometimes will often point out, well, you know, there, you know, women, there are no women. But my dad and my mom never said that. They always just said, yep, you can, if you want to be a fighter pilot, you can be a fighter pilot. You want to, you know, be an astronaut, you can be an astronaut. And they just encouraged me to reach for the stars.
You know, one of my favorite parts of the documentary, I think you're all given a chance to call somebody that meant a lot to you. And man, oh man, did you aim high. You get to call Michelle Obama just in the day before you guys are going to launch. And that was just your pure happiness and joy, and having Michelle Obama on with all of you, just a special moment. That had to be great.
It really was. And it was interesting the way it came about, because we were talking about the last phone call you make before you leave Earth. And there's this historic phone on the launch pad. The Apollo astronauts used it. It's still there. It still works. And I was sitting there in our meeting talking about this, and I was thinking, well, you know, my parents are gone. I'm not married. I don't have kids. You know, I don't want to call my brothers. I mean, like, how lame is that? and I was like, man, I just out loud, I said, I wish I could call somebody, you know, one of my heroes, like Michelle Obama. And our mission director sitting next to me turns and goes, I think we can make that happen.
Oh,
and,
my God. Wow. That's so cool.
And it's funny because we both have a mutual friend. She was the first female Thunderbird pilot. And he turns to me and he's like, yeah, you know, we can just reach out to her because she was a White House fellow under the Obamas and knows Michelle. And so these connections happen.
So cool.
And so it was originally going to be my last phone call before leaving Earth, so that I, you know, this whole idea of being able to tell somebody who didn't even know I exist, that they inspired me, you know, that they had an impact on me and my life, and to thank her for that. And then it ended up happening the day before, which was even better because my whole crew got to experience that.
Yeah, and you put them right on speaker, which was a generous move there. Dr. Proctor, before we let you go, I want to just a moment here, if I can. I've got, it's Christmas week here, so some of the kids around here. Michael, hey, do you want to say hi to a real live astronaut?
I want to give you a hidden gem that many people know.
And what's that?
I also got to talk to my favorite, the singer of my favorite band while in orbit. It was not in the Netflix.
And really?
Yes. And I got to talk to him for 20 minutes.
Oh. Who was that?
Yeah.
Bono from U2.
Oh.
Wow.
Talk about capitalizing on the moment. Wow. Can you hear? Let me put your microphone on, Michael. Can you see and hear, Doctor? Your headphones working?
Mm-hmm.
Say hi to Dr. Proctor. She's a real life astronaut.
Hi, Michael. Hi, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
Nice that I tuned the microphone the right way. We'll put you on this one. This is.
I know, I sound weird.
Did you want to ask her any questions?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Right in the microphone.
What does it feel like when you go up in the rocket?
Oh, it's pretty cool. It's like the best ride you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So when the engines light, what happens is you've got all that thrust. So you're already sitting in your seat and you're buckled in pretty tight, but you feel it pushing you back. And you get this acceleration, these G forces that are kind of pushing on you, but it's not too bad. And you're just so excited. Now I got to tell you, on the re-entry, you get the same kind of feeling in your seat because after you've been floating in space for 3 days with zero gravity, when you come back in, you hit the atmosphere and you start feeling this force again, these G's. And that one was a lot harder and a lot longer, where we actually have to do what's called pressure breathing, where you're feeling it push on your chest when you get to about 6 G's, and you have to go just to be able to, like, you know, control your breathing and to not get overexcited about that that experience.
Wow, awesome. That's cool.
That's a pretty brave, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's an awesome ride, and I hope you get to experience it one day.
Would you like to be an astronaut?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You got to study really, really hard. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Pretty
Happy
good.
Holidays to you too.
That's right. I have that microphone set at a different setting. Just amazing to talk to you. And you know, do you want to go back? Do you? That's really the last question I have for you.
I would love to go back. You know, I am so grateful and thankful for the 3 days that I had on orbit. And I hope lots of people get to have that experience. But 3 days wasn't enough.
Yeah. And just your absolute, the joy that comes through. When you came back, was there a, the expression would be, did you come back down to earth? As far as, because I just can't imagine how incredibly, you know, the after effects of, like, okay, I'm back on earth now. After that exhilarating moment, is there kind of a hangover after all this, this experience?
You know, the biggest thing is that you become a family. And of course, right, you know, all of the training and hanging out with Jared, Haley, and Chris, you're not seeing them anymore. And so you miss it. You miss the excitement of all the training. Even though there was a lot of pressure involved around it, you still, you know, it was so much fun because you got to do really interesting things with incredible people. And even all of the support crew from SpaceX, you really become close to everybody during this entire endeavor. And then, and you miss that.
And you got back. Are you still teaching, painting, doing poetry? What is your life like now post space?
I am. In January, I'm coming out with my first book of art and poetry that will be available on Amazon. And I'm super excited about it because it's the culmination of everything I've done in the last few years that prepared me to not only go as an artist and poet, but also to be able to paint and draw while in orbit and create poetry about that.
You know, I want to thank you, Dr. Proctor, for coming on the show. The level of having you with that crew, I think you could be with any NASA crew. Calling you a civilian you shouldn't be called a civilian. I am such a fan of your bravery and the way you handled that experience. It's just spectacular. If you want to see it, it's a Countdown on Netflix. Dr. Sion Proctor, really, what a pleasure. Congratulations, and onward and upward to interplanetary travel. You're part of it, and you're the first, you're at the beginning of it. Thank you, Doctor. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Doctor. That's Dr. Sion Proctor. I can't even tell you how much of a fan I am. We have to take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we will have the homepage and more fun and more thrills. I'll tell you more about, all of our tragic personal lives.
Which,
yeah. Can you see my zit in the middle of my forehead? I hope I tried to cover it up there. Anyway, we a lot to cover on the show. You're listening to the Mike O'Meara Show. We'll be right back.
Yeah, boy!
Rick Schofield.
Let's kick it.
O'Mara.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
All right, stop.
Tune it in and listen.
Mike is back with the podcast invention.
Download
TMOS on the daily. Become a P1 just like
Sherry Daily. Mike,
Oscar, Rob, and Pony.
That's the crew of my podcast, home.
I got a fever. And the only prescription
is an annual bonus subscription.
Go to MichaelMaraShow.com.
Like the fuse of a comedy laugh bomb.
iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Spotify, make your smartphone richer.
Love it or leave it, you better hit play. You'll eat it all up.
Yo, the whole tray?
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while Pony revolves.
Mike, baby.
Woo!
Ain't it fucking out.
O'Mara.
Mike, baby.
Ooh, yeah!
Hey, I like that. Jingle all the way, everybody. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. It's in such a brief period of time, prepping for that. I binged it last night and tonight and today. And she was, what you saw is what you got for the entire mission. She's without fear. That is just a mind blower.
I like her
really
so
is.
Much more than Michael Strahan.
Doc, Mike, would you agree for the entire family over break?
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Julie and I watched a lot of it together, and it was so neat.
It's inspiring.
Yeah.
If you know anybody that is interested in space, especially kids and stuff, just inspiring. But I mean, I would never have that. Joy and hat. I'd be like worried about my fat ass the whole time I'd be up there.
Yeah.
And I'd throw up on the gravity machine.
Yeah.
The G-force machine.
Yeah.
I'd boot everywhere. The bag wouldn't help. Now, remember that guy, Rick? Was that his name?
Yeah,
Rick?
Yeah.
Who was doing his best, but he finally booted? I'd be just like, I'd be like, ah!
We need another bag in here.
We asked you not to have a big breakfast, Mike.
Hey, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Noom. When it comes to losing weight, there's a lot of pressure to label foods good or bad, but that just creates dilemmas. Noom is here to change how we see food with a psychology-based approach that looks not only at what you eat, but also how you eat. Instead of making you feel guilt or regret, Noom empowers you to keep going. Everybody's journey is different, so Noom customizes a program for you based on your personal goals. I love that no food is totally off limits. If you have an off day, get back on track. You're fine with that. Noom only asks for 10 minutes of your day to teach you about your eating habits and check in on your progress. You don't need rules to lose weight, just the knowledge and wisdom to empower you to build smarter, more sustainable habits. Noom's approach helps you better understand your relationship with food, how to be more mindful of your habits, and gives you the knowledge and support you need. I love Noom. Carla loves it. Oscar loves it. There's a science to getting healthier.
Yeah.
It's called Noom. Start building better habits for healthier, long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS. That's one of my favorite guests we've ever had on the show, right there. She was just so full of life and incredible. And now it's time for the homepage. And I feel like the rest of the show will just be a total letdown.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage. We go from a spectacular human being to talking about how Larry David hates Christmas.
Oh, well, that's nice.
But I know you guys like Larry David.
Yeah, very much.
He's a curmudgeon in real life, and he's a curmudgeon on TV. He hates it. He wrote about it recently. I forgot where it was, but it was some Vanity Fair guy that has a online piece.
Okay. You know.
The TV star and writer who in the past has appeared uncomfortable at large noisy events also wrote that over the years, my scrooginess at these Christmas Day gatherings became so intolerable that in due course, this is Larry writing this,
yes,
everyone realized how much better the day would be without my off-putting, nay, offensive presence.
Oh, wow.
He said he finally stopped being invited to, to Christmas parties. Now, he reminisced about his first Christmas Day alone. God, what a miserable
Wow, he really is.
During which he participated in a common Christmas tradition for Jewish Americans. He said, quote, I noticed a crowd of people lined up on the street and saw that my local Chinese restaurant was open for business.
Yes, tradition.
With every Jew in the neighborhood inside. He said, I didn't even particularly like the food there.
He's such a prick.
But that night I went to town and ordered all the dishes from my childhood. It doesn't say whether he ate carry out or ate inside, but I bet he took them home.
Alone.
Yeah, got to be alone. Got to be alone.
He later wrote that since that day, eating Chinese food by himself, so obviously he takes it home, on Christmas Day has become a cherished yearly ritual.
You know, I would picture him eating it with J.B. Smoove.
Well, if you're going to the Peking gourmet, then that's one thing. But if you're just eating alone, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, by it the time sad. You get the dumplings home from Golden China, they're not so good.
Yeah, but you know what he says? Quote, now on Christmas Eve, I sleep like a baby with nary a bathroom break. That's what Larry said. So there's Larry's Christmas wish for you. Speaking of celebrities, Olivia Munn and John Mulaney welcomed their first baby together. That's confirmed by People magazine. A source close to the couple says Munn and Mulaney had a baby boy on November 24th. Representatives toward the stars did not immediately respond to the request for a comment. Mulaney revealed on Late Night with Seth Meyers in September that he and Munn were expecting. He wrote, I got into this relationship that's been really beautiful with someone incredible, and we're having a baby together. I was nervous when I was about to say the news. He thanked Meyers for having on the show. Mulaney said, Olivia and this baby have helped save me from myself in this early journey out of recovery. And I would say, if you wanted to pick something that might help you on that journey, I think a kid will do that. If yeah. Of course, it can also push you in the other direction. That wasn't nice.
No.
Christmas week, that wasn't very nice.
I haven't had a drop since my children were born.
Liar. All right. The fur of inflation is real, Rob Spiewak.
Fur.
A perfectly shaped 20-year-old, 12.5-foot-tall Western white fur is priced in Greenwich Village.
Hold on. How tall? Give me the height once
20.
More.
20 feet.
Okay. I'm going to register a guess for a 20-foot.
Write it down, and then I'll share it with you, and then see if you got it right. This is a 20-year-old, 12.5-foot.
Oh, 12.5-foot. Okay.
It's a 12.5-foot Western white fur. It's at the Greenwich Village Sidewalk Christmas Tree Lot.
Okay.
Operated by the Rump family.
I got it. I got my guess.
Yet it's not the most expensive Yuletide tree sold in New York City, but the price of this, $1,100.
Wow, I predicted $2,500. I put New York prices on it. But you know what? That's still pricey for
New York
cut
Post
tree.
The New York Post found a 14-footer, a Fraser fir, Friday, tucked away and still wrapped at a lot on 10th Avenue and 44th in Hell's Kitchen. That was listed for $1,200.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me because we called anytime you got over 9 feet, it was called a specimen.
Yeah.
And right. When they get to that height, they grow less every year.
That's why if you go artificial, you don't have to worry about this nonsense.
That's right.
And are they feeding cows gold now? Is that what cows are eating? Because, I mean, really, for someone that wants to have boof on Christmas Day...
Yeah, what are you going to opt for? I think I might actually, for the first time ever, do a tenderloin instead of a turkey. And I was pricing them.
Well, you're going to do a turkey, Rob. Beef is insane right now.
I saw. It's ridiculous.
Nuts. I don't get it, you know. But anywho. Beauty fans are canceling their eyelash extension appointments in droves after witnessing one woman's allergic reaction to the procedure. The woman called Cecily took to TikTok to share a video Internet. Documenting her extension journey from the excitement ahead of getting the lashes to shocking footage when her eyes puffed up. I mean, we're we're talking about closed. Her quote, I found out I had a new allergy yesterday, and then it showed the video with her eyes about 10 hours after the lashes were applied. She's like totally,
oh, no.
I could have been, cut me, Mick. Cut me, Mick. Mick, cut me. Anyhow, Philadelphia mother has given birth to what is believed to be the world's first Tesla baby. Hey, it's all Elon Musk today. We got SpaceX.
Yeah.
He's in the documentary, too, for like a nanosecond.
But he didn't make it all about him.
He didn't make it all about him, but he does look a little creepy, too. Like, they're shaking hands with him.
A little creepy.
They're all saying, hey, you know, thank you, and he's just kind of
You
got to
kiss the ring.
He kind of looks like he's in makeup to look like someone else.
But his motivation for this, which I didn't get to with Dr. Proctor, you can't get them all in, I wanted to say, is interplanetary survival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The reason he's doing this with civilians is to prepare mankind for eventually living, you know, if something
as
happens to this planet.
Yeah.
Elsewhere.
Absolutely. And we need people like that. Right. I mean, as we're walking around watching other influencers that are all duh.
We've seen it happen. You had to prepare yourself to move to Florida.
I did. I don't totally regret it because I love the weather.
Yes.
That's about it. Anyway, the baby was delivered in the front seat of an electric smart car while it was driving on autopilot. The remarkable delivery was the birth of Euron Sherry and her husband Keating Sherry. Are there people? Are we losing normal names? I mean, I know the whole George Carlin thing is now
Tucker
movie. Tucker, Tyler, Flynn. Euron Sherry's water broke while the family was stuck in traffic. Contractions increased rapidly, and traffic was barely moving, so they were in a traffic jam. The husband, placed the vehicle on autopilot after setting the navigation system to the hospital. 20 minutes away in the western suburb. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Paoli?
Sure.
Is this in America? I don't know. He said he laid one hand gently on the car's steering wheel because I think they do a thing where they go whoop, whoop, whoop if you don't touch the steering wheel.
Remember to touch the steering wheel.
The mother said the decision over whether to try it or wait until they reached the hospital was an agonizing one. Should I push or should I hold? Should I push? Anyway, she gave birth to her daughter as they arrived at the hospital. And she said, oh, my God, Keating, tell Tyler and Flynn the baby's out. Nurses cut the baby's umbilical cord in the front seat of the Tesla.
And immediately charged the baby.
Let me highlight this.
Yes.
If the SpaceX computer flies, you know, make sure that all the systems are go and you have to have a human in place, mm-hmm. can get you to outer orbit. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're closer to autonomous driving than we think.
Oh, yeah. We are. Mm-hmm. We are. Yeah, absolutely. And it's great. I think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think autonomy, yeah, because it's better than the idiots we have down here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those ladies with their bejeweled fingers. Yeah. A bizarre local controversy involving a 7-foot wooden penis has reached a happy ending. Hi.
It's another rocket.
Jamie Gagne of Wilton, New York, had carved the obscene woodwork. Well, I think obscene to maybe some people.
Yeah.
I looked at a picture of it.
And?
I mean, it was a phallus.
Yeah.
He carved it out of a pine tree. He carved it out of a pine tree and proudly placed it in the front yard of his home in June of last year. Despite complaints, the tree trunk remained in place for several days. Then local police were called, and they said that he couldn't display it in the front yard.
Yeah.
It appears that he has come to an understanding that he can keep it in his backyard, though. So for, I guess, guests when they come over. So there are no more charges against the guy.
The
saga finally reached its unexciting conclusion after a year and a half. All but two of the 13 international property code violations I accused of were dismissed, he said. And the two that remained left were a fine of $250. So he can keep the penis in his yard.
Keep the penis. That nice? That's a
certain level of perversion to go all out like that.
I believe so. Right? You have to have some sort of obsession.
And it seems to me more like a front yard thing.
Now a little something something. Yes. A naked Florida man stole a pickup truck from a dealership, and then they went on a police chase outside of Melbourne, Florida. 40-year-old Richard Blows was at a Fiat of Melbourne before 7 a.m. when an employee saw him standing naked in a paint booth. What's that, where they paint the cars?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Before the man got into a 2021 Ram truck, Blows then backed out of the booth in the pickup truck and drove away from the dealership. An unmarked vehicle was there. A cop was on the side of the street, saw Blows driving erratically and striking a guardrail multiple times and gave chase. Let me see. He was taken into custody. They got him, and the arrest was made. Apparently, Blows, the neighbors around this area that he lives, Longbow Road. I'm not making these up.
I love it.
Said he has a habit of losing his clothes. He was out on bond on a charge of exposing himself just last month before he stole the car while naked. Richard's sister, Mary Blows.
What's her name?
Mary Blows.
Yes, Oscar.
Was voted most likely to go out with the whole team. And, of course, in his high school days, Richard Blows was simply called Dick. There you are.
I'm curious, where do you put the pinstripes on a guy?
strange show that we have. We talked to that wonderful, special, amazing person, and then we're doing these jokes. I don't know what's wrong with me. Mary we'll take a break, and we'll come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa, everybody.
Hi, everybody. This is Gary Busey, and I'd just like to share a few holiday Buseyisms for the Mike O'Mara Show. Christmas isn't Christmas without a cake. That's one. Santa Claus is coming to your municipality, but he might as well get the permits early, because if he doesn't, he might be stuck on the road somewhere. Buseyisms. Buseyisms from Gary Busey. Hey, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. You know what makes a Happy New Year new? Love. Yeah, love between a man and a woman on a couch. Buseyisms. Happy holidays and Merry Kwanzaa. Special mention goes out to my daughter. I don't know if you're aware of her name. It's Lucy Busey. Yeah, good girl.
Hey, is our first... okay, I just figured it out. I'm doing stuff here. I apologize.
It's all right.
I'm just having a tough day with my computers because I got all excited about the good doctor.
Yeah.
That I didn't put my commercials in the right place. But I'm doing that right now as we speak because you know what I am, kids?
What's that?
If nothing, I am a professional.
I feel it.
Now, thank you. I appreciate that. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Cornerstone.
There it is.
The Department of Labor has reported that inflation is accelerating at its fastest pace since 1982, signaling a possible rate hike by the maggots at the Fed. Maggots, we have so many maggots
on the line.
Mike, yeah. I just talked to the team at Cornerstone, and I was, is it too late to refinance? I've been putting it off, putting it off, putting it off, putting it off, and they're like, no.
Go for it.
Yeah. Go for it.
Taking the advice of these messages, yes, I've been giving our listeners, yes, for months now.
Yes.
Well, what it means for you, Oscar, with the holiday season upon us and rates still at historic lows, Oscar Santana is going to use the equity in his home to cover his holiday expenses. No, you're going to refinance your mortgage,
yes,
right? Is,
yes,
what you're going to do.
Yes.
Listen, take advantage before this rate hike.
Do it. Yeah.
You need to call what's happening to me on the show today? You need to call Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial today. Today.
Today.
Cornerstone First is a direct lender with their own money. Remember that? Do you remember that commercial that I made fun of? Today.
Today.
Today. Yeah.
Do you remember the company?
I don't.
Empire Carpet.
That's right.
Today.
Oh, yeah.
Today.
That was a rather unfortunate timing on that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I
remember that. I
had so much fun with it. And then they came and they told me. Shut up.
Shut up.
Anyway, Cornerstone First, they're good. They let me have fun with their commercials. Yes. That's what I like about Cornerstone. They'll beat any competitor, even if you're working with another company. They can be a sounding board for you to make sure you're getting the best deal. I bet Cornerstone can beat it. Whether it's a purchase or refinance like Oscar Santana, the team at Cornerstone First is ready to help just in time for the holidays. Call the only mortgage company I recommend, Cornerstone First Financial, serving the listeners of the Mike O'Mara podcast for over 6 years now. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. And Merry Christmas from Cornerstone First Financial. Lots going on the show today.
Yes.
Busy, busy, busy.
Oh, you sound like the man from Frosty the Snowman.
Busy,
So we have touchdown Charlie living in the house. Flag football Friday night. Two TDs scored by stellar running back Michael William O'Mara.
This is great news.
That is good news.
Very, very happy. Yeah, I know you'd be thrilled.
Carla's genetics. Finally.
Oh, 100% Carla's. Yeah. I come from a line of people that put butter on donuts. I mean, I do. If you looked at the women in the O'Mara family tree,
yes.
The mounds of gelatin that called themselves human beings.
Well, they're not known as, they're more artists than athletes.
Now, if you
and
saw my old
players,
man, though,
not football players, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you saw my old man in World War II, you know, he was as wiry as they come. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just like a praying mantis. But then as he got older, he got a little thick, but he wasn't as fat as me. And that's one thing. I put on pounds, you know, but then again, I've had a softer life, a cushier, softer life. But you go back and look at the predisposition to weight. I think it comes from some of these women on my father's side.
Sturdy women?
I think it does. Sturdy would be the word. Sturdy and just, you know, I mean, you're kind of like a couple of the pictures you'll see on the walls. Like, ah! You could use them. You could use them in... In the Grunge or the Grudge,
I've looked at the pictures at your family's home in Maine.
Yeah,
and there were days where you were like you had your shirt tucked in and it didn't look like anything. Like you were in shape.
Well, no, I when I was younger, yeah. Obviously, but I mean it's been steady. It's been a steady weight gain. But you know, I mean I'm okay with it. But my boy does have Carla's genes.
Yeah, you weren't scoring touchdowns as a kid.
I was center.
Yeah.
You know what they, you know, on a football team in midgets, the little kids, nine, 10 year olds, who do they put at center? You know, and we're going to have let O'Mara hike the ball.
Yeah.
It's not like the NFL where it's a really skilled. What are you doing, Winslow? Winslow, stay out of there. Go lie down. Go lie down.
Winslow's playing center.
Go lie down.
He's like, I'm just trying to score a touchdown.
Go lie down. Two of the kids were sick with the chest cold my son had. Mm-hmm. So they were out sick and everybody freaks out about that. But the coach was there and he ran for two touchdowns and then they gave him the ball to convert the extra point. They don't kick extra points. Mm-hmm. They throw or run for them. And he completed a pass.
Nice.
It was like proud papa moment.
Is it just an extra point or is it for two because it's not a kick?
You know, I don't even know.
Were you sober?
What do you? That's not a fair question. Afterwards, we went out to celebrate at Iguana Mia after the game.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying you're raging.
Carla brings a bottle. Brings a little ceramic sort of Yeti. Wine cups.
Yeah, yes.
And we have a glass of wine while we're watching it.
Friday
and by
night,
the way,
sure.
I'm not the only parent to do that. No, there's a row of them.
I know this, but it would be different. If he's winning and you're celebrating with a little bit of lubrication,
sure,
yeah.
Even better.
Yeah,
I yelled at the referees at one point, which apparently is good. Just
you
don't be that
ref,
dad.
Yes.
No, they just were standing there. You know what they do? They check their watch. They're high school kids. They don't give a rat's ass about being out there, and they don't communicate. Mm. And I'd like to know what the down and situation is. You know,
bent,
I know the
zebra.
Maybe you shouldn't drink.
I had just arrived when that happened.
Oh.
And Carla said, no, you don't. You will not be that dad.
Take you
I said, I'm a standout anyway. Look at me, old, fat.
You know what?
I can
you
do
could
that.
Probably be the ref. You could volunteer.
But then I had
the
a really great moment with the coach afterwards because we're on the other side.
The coach is way young too, right, though?
Young dad, younger, okay. And we were on the other side of a chain link fence because they didn't let the parents set up their chairs on the sideline, very narrow sideline.
Right.
And I guess it was tearing up the field, so we had to move on the other side. So after the game, I knew he had a depleted squad, so I had the fake microphone. maybe that was because of the wine that I'd had during this. It's like, Coach, pretty amazing victory, even with a depleted squad. Too early to start talking Coach of the Year? And then he played right along, which is like, well, it's all about the players, Mike. And yeah, we had a great little moment. Like, thanks, Dad. That's great. Carlos, go get a margarita to celebrate. That was
too
my Friday.
I can't stop this train.
Yeah. And then that took us out. The combination of sugar, salt, and alcohol, pretty much now, I am such a lightweight that took me out for the entire weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I was done. I mean, I did all the stuff I was supposed to do. Took my kid to piano, then dropped him off, and I can't talk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because of the thing?
We talked about. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Done.
Nice. Done and done.
All right, hold on.
Do you pick it up?
No, if I do that, it's going to be everywhere.
Just as a yes, no question, Mike. Do you pick it up on Friday?
Is that Eve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Perfect.
I don't think you'll know if I
when is Christmas again?
Falls on the 25th this year, Oscar.
This is the only way I can do it.
Oh, text a Rooney?
No, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, maybe a text. Yeah, a text is better.
A text works. While you're texting, Mike, thank you to Wanda Farmer, who sent us a wonderful shirt.
Oh, yeah. I took mine home.
No snacks. Thank you, Wanda.
Yeah.
But yeah, she sent a shirt for Rob and me.
Mine has a picture of my favorite cocktail on it, and it says, I'm just an old-fashioned guy. Robert saw it. He said, Dad, is that your shirt? I said, yep. He said, that's gas.
I got a business-centric, diversified.
Did she send any
portfolio
confections with that?
Said no snacks.
No snacks.
We're trying to keep it tight.
Snack.
Pony didn't receive a shirt. I double-checked the package.
Well, I thought Pony got a tuxedo shirt.
No. He didn't get anything.
Sorry about that.
And so did Mike. Yours might be in the mail, but I just thank you to Wanda Farmer.
All right. Text should be received by now. You should see what we've got here. Take a peek.
All right.
Take a little peeky-weeky.
Incoming, Mike. I'm waiting for it to come. We've got Verizon here. It should be here in a second.
The 5G.
The 5G.
Did I not send it?
I got it. Oh, right. My God.
Yep.
That looks poisonous.
Yeah.
There we go.
That might be
a
problem.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
I think that's very cool.
I finally got it. Fine.
You're going to let him name it, right?
Can I show the people at home?
No, that'll be after Christmas.
Okay.
That'll bring them back. I'm sorry, but I just don't want it to be. That's for you. But wonderful and great information and easy, supposedly easy. You know,
called the pet store and they said, I need Tam.
No, not that kind. Very, but I can't. Oh, after the holiday.
Yeah. All right. You're pleased with the transaction and everything is in place.
Pleased with everything about it. No fuss, no muss.
That's excellent. I hate muss.
And then afterwards, my wife came home. She's been working her ass off. Which is great.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. But then when she's not working, she's sleeping. So I had a very boring weekend waiting for my wife to wake up. Mm-hmm. She would come home from work and but at least Sunday.
Welcome, brother.
Can't you play golf when they're all hibernating?
I'm childcare. I'm covering the little one.
I feel he's so mature that he's like he can take care of himself.
Yeah, he could catch.
No, he's not a latchkey kid. I don't want to do that to him. Mm. You know. But the thing about it is,
I know, broken.
Sunday I got a treatment. I got a treatment for from Carla, the full hydrafacial, red light therapy,
Highline.
Everything. It was special. I think I wrote it down.
What warranted the
She wanted to use all her machines on me and do that. And so it was very, very – I was in there
you can't turn back the hands of time, dear?
I don't think I can, Rob. I really would because if I were to really show you an up-close picture, you'd notice that I have Ed Turney skin.
Oh, no!
Ed Turney is the old broadcaster, Mickey Rooney skin.
Yeah. That hydrofacial, really, you can see the difference.
When Al, thank you so much. Al Franken, when he was debating back in the day before he got in trouble, before O'Reilly got in trouble, he was debating Bill O'Reilly. And I think he was talking about blotchiness.
Oh, no.
And, you're more blotchy when I see you. And it made O'Reilly so mad because the Irish, you have to really cover up the. We can see my blotches a little bit. You can do that.
And that comes with everyone with age.
Yes.
But it.
Eventually they connect and it looks like you have a tan.
A lot of impurities came out of the skin. Let's just say that.
Did you have to wring out the rag a few times?
She has a machine that it's called Hydrafacial, and it takes out the impurities, and then she holds it up. She's posted this online a lot.
Oh, my God, like a steam cleaning a water, carpet, and you can
Yeah, and then you see the impurities are in there, and it was
I love seeing
it was
impurities.
A shocker.
Her clients
love that. Yeah, it's one of it's like the best part. It's like you took that out of my face. Yes. It's fantastic.
Everybody's got it. Anything living in there?
Why do you make him sound like a monster?
It would be
putting himself out on the line.
Yeah, I practice good hygiene.
It would be so great if when she showed the impurities to one of her customers, she just slipped like a beetle in there. Look what we found.
This burrowed out of my husband's forehead.
This is an earwig. Ew. All right, we have to take a break, and we'll come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Meara Show, everybody. Thinking of making a modification in the home, and I need your advice.
I love this.
We'll be right back, everybody. Merry Christmas, Gary Krimble. Happy holidays.
Hey, kids, where do you want to go for dinner?
Amato!
Now Jim Amato is going to, like, sell a veggie burger.
Amato Burgers.
I love beef, but I'll take this.
You'll not believe the incredible Mike O'Meara Burger.
This Amato veggie burger is fantastic.
Oh, God, these are good.
Welcome to Amato's, Pittsburgh's favorite burger.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
At Amato's, we pack our burgers with top-quality cuts of beef and prepare everything with tender love and care.
Did they teach you that here?
Brad.
If you're hungry for laughs, why not try the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show? Supersize the fun with a yearly subscription at MikeO'MearaShow.com.
Yeah, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. You know, the way you use the internet has changed dramatically over the last decade, but sadly, security tools have mostly stayed the same. Wah, wah. Aura provides complete digital security to help protect your online accounts, finances, and devices, and more, all in one easy-to-use app. Aura provides digital security protection to keep you safe from online threats. It's all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more. With Aura, you'll get alerted to fraud and threats fast. Like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked online. Or if someone tried... Let me see if I... I'm going to read that again. I'm not... That doesn't... That's not a money flaw.
I always like to say
flaw,
Aura.
You know.
Aura.
Aura.
Yeah. Aura. That's Aura. Incorrect.
Aura.
Like if your accounts or passwords were leaked online. I don't know if I'd go with if your online accounts or passwords were leaked online. I think it's redundant. Yeah. I think. You willing to make a counterpoint on that one at all?
Read it again.
All right, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked online.
That makes sense. It makes sense, but you know what? I think
they could be leaked on a pad of paper.
I think stylistically you have a point. I think technically it's okay. I will correct it though so it reads better.
What about leaked on the web?
Oh, yes. Internet.
Hey.
Bitcoin.
Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help provide, identity theft insurance.
Mm-hmm.
No need to stop there. There was no punctuation. Read correctly. Learn. I'd like to apologize to Aura for this commercial. I'll give you another one if you want. I mean, it's worth it.
Okay.
I'm doing a terrible job today.
Yeah.
All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds. Plus, Aura has experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Aura is a new type of security service that protects all of your online information and devices with one simple subscription. Aura keeps you in control and guides you through solving any issues. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners up to 40% off plans when you visit aura.com/TMOS. Go to aura.com/TMOS to get complete protection and savings of up to 40%. That's aura.com/TMOS. Welcome back to the show. Hold on a second. Hello, Mike O'Meara.
Hi, this is Ann Murray wishing all of you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Who?
Ann Murray from Canada. Ann Murray, America's favorite Canadian singer.
Time has passed.
Mm. Oh, so sad, right?
Can we get new ones? Can we get new ones?
Yeah, they're available everywhere.
They are,
can
absolutely.
Can we get new ones?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When did you... Do you have any new ones?
Let's see. Yes, I do. I have one here that's brand new, Mike.
Is it brand new?
Yeah, he might call any moment.
It's going to go ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. You'll be sorry. Hello, Mike O'Meara Show.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is Michael Jackson of the Jackson 5 wishing a happy holiday to all Motown fans.
That's not new.
It was a trick.
That's not even alive.
He's dead. The man is Ann, passed.
Is Ann Murray alive?
Ann Murray is alive and still box.
Oh, stop it. That's not true.
Thank you, Pony.
Down here.
Down here.
In the tropical location that I live in.
Yes.
There are obviously some spectacular homes down there, but I would say the vast majority of people like me and others live in what would best be described as kind of like Florida houses. I have a lovely home, very happy here, okay. But it's not abbondanza as far as space is concerned. And not only do I live here and my son, but when we have guests or when we have my children come here, you know, it's not a lot of space. Now, when I moved in here, I converted a den to my studio, and it was very open air, but with digital technology, the sound's not bouncing all over the place,
right.
But it could be better. And so we've been just thinking about maybe moving this studio into the guest bedroom and making that into a Murphy bed situation where somebody pops in. And then, I don't know how this came up. I have no idea how it came up. It might be Carl, it might be me, but I think it was me. Suddenly I said, you know what? We got a car for her and a car for me. We got a lot of crap in the garage, but what about moving my studio into the garage and making that kind of a utility room, man cave, bar? Maybe golf simulator, podcast studio, plenty of room in there to do all of that. You kind of put a temporary wall, maybe a soundproof wall up against the garage. You got concrete on every other side.
Three sides, right?
And I thought it might be kind of interesting.
What about the HVAC?
Yeah, the climate control.
I think you can accomplish what you need to do portable. Wise. And
do you have
possibly
a window that could host a window unit?
Yeah, that's a great
no
question.
I don't have a window. It's not a big house. I don't have a window, but I do
those
have
portable air conditioners. They sell you a bill of goods and they don't work that well, and the problem is
they
you
make
have
noise
to, you have to constantly
I could probably add a vent or two in the ceiling of the garage.
So look, if you're willing to make the insulation investment, then it's viable. Absolutely.
Now, when you say insulation, you mean sound insulation?
Well, the misnomer of just concrete blocks, you still have to put.
I'd have to put some acoustical tile up and stuff like that, and the flooring would have to be accommodated to. But I carpet. Very much when you know, it's very much a situation where I'd need to, you know, if there was some sort of horrible attack. And I needed to get back to Maine and live the rest of my days there, I would want something that would transform easily into a garage again. I'd be able to go right back to
The team that would install your golf simulator, because I've seen plenty in real life.
I'm not going to have a golf simulator, but I can't afford that.
Okay.
That's too much money.
I would start with
that. I don't know, Mike. There's a day coming up at the end of the week that maybe you might
get
but
no. She didn't love me that much.
So if,
okay. If that they started 20 grand,
Rob. If that was on your horizon in like the next 2 years, that would be a baseline to start, because the what they put in for that type of simulator, because I've seen them firsthand, it's halfway there to a podcast studio.
Where have you seen them? What rich guy have you seen them?
Well, I would rather not name. People like their privacy, Mike.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, Rob Ford has one.
Yeah, working on a swing on the weekends.
It's Rob Ford. But we'll see.
I have gone and touched the walls and been like, oh, this is phenomenal. Because the balls, as not they don't
the
just
what?
Go, the balls just don't go into the screen.
Balls.
They sometimes slice, so the materials.
You have to have a net.
But not even just the net is there, but the materials on the left and right are almost like sound tiles to
yeah, because they're big, heavy, like tarp like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I think I can. The golf simulator is a totally different deal.
Yes.
Like that's separate. Studio first. Studio first and then everything else second.
It's going to cost
like,
you.
I'm
studio number one, two, bar?
I don't know yet.
Wouldn't
I don't
you
know.
Rather
you know I'd rather have that in the house.
Loop it in, throw it on like, you know, a 5-year payment plan, and start with the simulator. Because the simulator, you're going to buy things twice, essentially, is what I'm saying.
So if you'd buy the simulator, it would be a step towards completing
it's basically
the room.
Almost done.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know.
Does that make it a business expense?
No.
Oh.
Not at all.
I could if I wanted to.
Well, you can do whatever you'd like, but realistically, probably not appropriate.
Yeah, not appropriate for you. Maybe what about
you? Can
me?
Do whatever you'd like.
You know, I can do it. So that's going to be my new studio. I'm going to build a new studio. It's going to be elaborate. If it happens to have a golf simulator,
jazz hands
I'll be able
when
to show that.
It.
It's I'll be able elaborate. To show that on the show too. Hey, listeners, look at me hitting golf ball. I'll do a new golf podcast.
You will.
Bring in pros. Bring in Mark O'Mara. Bring in Jack Nicklaus to my garage.
Paul O'Mara.
Yeah. Be like a lot of fun. It'll be very exciting. I don't think I'd be comfortable leading Jack Nicklaus by the washer dryer, though. That would be a little embarrassing.
Jack, I'm sorry.
That'd be a little uncomfortable.
Watch your step. Frankie was in here earlier,
just
Jack.
In case really. If you stole your pants.
Golden bear.
I got you.
Okay. Hey, Greg Norman, you might want to, you don't have to make yourself thinner, but just watch out for the dryer. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Greg Norman.
Their space is not optimal down here. You know what I mean?
I understand.
I watched a show on one of the streaming networks called Selling Tampa, where they're selling these $5 million houses,
sure.
And these are interesting women, to say the least. They're nasty women. They're flirting with the guys that are buying the houses.
How dare they?
They you know, say, well, my wife's going to come by. I said, well, how would you feel if I was buying a $6 million house and you knew that the realtor who was selling it to us knew we were married and was making sexy talk with me at the showing of the house? And she said, I'd kill her. That's it. That's
she
it. So those
know.
Are the,
can you keep a secret?
I just don't like the whole idea. Makes me feel hinky about the whole high-end real estate market.
Show you the nasty, bedroom.
Nasty, rudderless people. That's what I think
rudderless.
About that.
Rudderless. Morally rudderless?
Morally reprehensible. Maybe I'm sounding old now. What is it with men that forget?
Don't hit on me. Anyway, I might fall in love.
So just coming in the late winter of 2022, I'm going to look into this.
I like it.
I'm going to see
about, what about maybe one of your friends? Do any of your friends have a simulator?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you mean the ones down at Happy Valley?
Yes, yeah.
Probably 20% of them.
Could you?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I'm talking about the studio. Why are you obsessed with the simulator? You know what? Let me tell you what he's doing, ladies.
Okay.
He immediately knows this is he in his mind. He is saying this in no way has anything to do with the show, which I told him is priority job number one. He is thinking Mike wants to hit golf balls in his garage and
to be
dovetail
fair,
it
Mike,
into that.
When you first brought up the garage conversion, you said it will be great. Studio, bar, golf simulator.
But
it's
not
going to. From the construction aspect, it would serve so many purposes.
It's
no,
forward thinking.
Because first of all, no, let me tell you what forward thinking
economies
is.
Of scale.
I can't afford that for the whole project, much less a golf.
Look,
that's
your finances
that's,
are your finances. I'm just giving
no,
you some
it's
options.
$20,000 those things start
I get
at.
It.
I can't afford
but
that. I never
once,
will afford
right?
that.
You
what?
Have great credit. Finance it.
I don't want to finance it. What are you talking? Why is this becoming the golf simulator now?
You know what? All those guys.
Sorry to shake the camera.
You said
God
that
almighty.
One in five.
Shut up.
One in five at Happy Valley have a golf simulator. They
I
can't
don't
all
know
live
how many.
Forever.
Do you know? No, I don't.
What
I don't want to
scratch?
Know. I'm not gonna. What am I gonna? Hey,
yeah.
I'm not at the stage now, nor will I ever be. Hey, Phil, can I come over and look at your golf simulator when you're? You know, I'm not that guy.
No, I'm saying wait for them to die and then pick it up cheap.
Maybe
what do you mean wait for? They're younger now. It's skewing younger than me
Accidents
out there.
Accidents happen.
Yeah, what about a community billboard or a bad divorce?
You know
put
what?
Up an index card at the grocery
I don't want to talk
store.
About this anymore. You've ruined it. You've ruined my Christmas.
You've made me late enough.
You've ruined my Christmas. I was so happy talking to Dr. Proctor, and now look where I am. The show's gone from like the best to the worst. So very sad. Anyway, we have to take a break, and we'll come back with Rob's Soundtown.
We're going to take a trip Soundtown. To Soundtown. Yes, sir.
Soundtown right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm so sad.
I'm dreaming. Of a Mike Christmas. I just bought the TMOS bonus show.
That's it. Back to you, Mike.
What the hell is that?
I love it. That's Rick Schofield.
It is. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Tommy John. If you can't decide what to give your friends and family this year, wish them a merry softness and happy new year. with comfy underwear, loungewear, and PJs, pajamas from Tommy John. I'm a New Englander. We say pajamas.
PJs.
Tommy John loungewear's luxuriously soft tri-blend and micro-modal fabrics mean four-way stretch and no lint balls or fuzz. With over 17 million pairs sold, giving the gift of Tommy John underwear and loungewear has become a holiday tradition for families all across the country. 97% of women and men love getting a gift from Tommy John. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Returns and exchanges are free, and you get Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guaranteed. And they promise no wedgies. Guaranteed. I love that. Get $20 off site-wide right now at TommyJohn.com/TMOS. That's TommyJohn.com/TMOS for $20 off site-wide. Order by December 21st. That's tomorrow, everyone.
Tomorrow.
Let's remember that. That's tomorrow.
Mañana.
Christmas holiday message writers. To get it in time for Christmas, TommyJohn.com/TMOS. See site for details. So have you wrapped it up? Are you all set? Is everything done as we wind down to Christmas? By the way, programming note, we will do a regular show tomorrow, followed by a bonus show cocktail party tomorrow night. So yes. Be ready for that. Are you all set for the holiday?
I have wrapping to do. All of my shopping is done. And I want to send a special salute to the Leesburg Post Office, whose both bins for packages in the lobby are full. So after I wrapped and put postage on the last of the fruit cakes, I couldn't mail them last night.
This man is not taking out a page out of our playbook. Stamps.com, just boom, you're good to go.
I was just going to say that. Don't we use them?
Yes.
My God.
We do, but the reason, Oscar, was I couldn't get the postman to pick up until Monday.
I
wanted
you,
to do it 12 hours ahead.
I get you.
So Stamps.com was not my best option last night.
Why couldn't you get the postman to pick up by Monday?
Because if I got them in the system last night, then they were mailed by Sunday. They were in the system last night. I wanted to
beat
the
system. Well, that's terrible.
It is, especially, Mike, since we're running out of time.
There we are. I think I'm getting a cold. It's the holidays.
You should have some OJ.
Yeah, really. I'd say the same thing, Oscar. We're like, oh.
One,
oh my God.
2, 3, 4, 5. Only five shopping days till Christmas.
All right.
Don't say we didn't warn you.
Don't say it. Right. Liquid IV has that immunotherapy.
And we've been living on the
somebody,
strawberry.
Somebody should make a parody. I'm sorry for cutting you off, Mike.
Go ahead.
Of that jingle of You'll Be Sorry with the booster.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the booster matters, though, right? Wasn't Elizabeth Warren vaxxed and boosted, and she got it?
Oh, so you know what else?
Cory Booker.
I don't know if you saw this. It happened about 3 hours ago. Governor Hogan boosted.
Yep.
He tested positive.
I'll give you this.
Is every... scientists and all
Mike,
you people,
still,
are we
gonna,
all getting it? Are we all getting it?
If you know you're going to get in a car accident, what degree of injuries do you want from it? Will you put your seatbelt on? I would.
I agree. You should say this. Yes. I should be corrected on this. It's still frustrating.
Very frustrating.
It's still frustrating because I kind of thought maybe we had solved it, which we to a degree have. It's preventing hospitalizations. At least maybe it is.
It's diminishing them. It's certainly diminishing them.
We think it is.
It is.
You know? Yeah, I hope it is.
The degree that you get sick, even if there's a breakthrough infection, has been proven.
South Africa, where this thing originated, hospitalizations are down.
Yes.
So getting vaccinated and getting boosted, you know, and I'm just frustrated. I'm frustrated like everybody hearing all of these infections. We are, it's frustrating for people. And hopefully this is not as severe illness producing as the other one. So we'll see what happens about that. But yeah, it's frustrating. It's just frustrating that this thing is still lingering longer. You know what I mean?
How's your temperature?
A little warm.
Yeah. Sense of smell?
Oh, God, that's fine.
What about taste?
My God, my fingers.
What does it usually taste like?
Banana.
Oh, that's terrific. You got something.
Yeah.
That might be another disease.
Yeah.
I didn't touch a banana today.
Oscar told me his fingers taste like plantains.
Yeah.
Plantains. Are you lean since you're the main source of your sounds is down? Are you lean today?
Not at all.
Okay. Don't get threatened. I was just asking. We seem to be pattering an awful lot leading up to your segment.
Well, you have to play the stager.
Would you like me to do it now? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you hear that?
Listen, what's that sound?
The big sound in the big town.
The sound.
There's a new sound.
Sound.
What a sound.
Sound. That's the sound.
Sound Town.
I have not watched.
Derm glow skin.
Don't stop it.
She will be so mad at what I just
not,
did.
I was not going to say so a pissed. Damn word. Just don't do it.
I have three eyes.
It's stealing, stealing my soul.
Stop. Hey, you know what? I'm sitting like RJ Diaz. Hold on a second. All right, here we go. All right, I'm ready.
Add attention.
On me, baby.
Go.
I'm ready.
Oh, I thought you were going to do an
what
RJ
are you
thing.
For?
I thought you were going to do an RJ thing as you were moving
no,
up.
No, I was sitting up straight.
Set up.
I thought he was going to run to get a towel. Tom Brady is better at winning than losing.
Oh.
And congratulations, he was shut out for the first time in 15 years last night. 255 starts without a shutout.
Who'd they play last night? I was so
Saints.
So just completely decimated after the Giants just, you know, it's just so horrible that I didn't watch any other games.
It was a bad game.
And
so much so I changed the channel. I was like, this is terrible.
And I love the fact that when they interviewed Brady after the game, he's not even giving them a good soundbite, not even using the right grammar.
Yeah, we just, didn't execute great, obviously, and just tough night. So I don't think we're, much good of anything tonight. I wish it was just one thing. It was a lot of things. So we got to do better in every
Can you pause it for a second?
Of course.
Look, man, God almighty, that's what you want.
I love it.
You want to know why he's great?
Because he's
great
he cares.
Because with all of his accomplishments, he
cares.
Is so competitive. Yeah. This is the man you want at the helm. He is pissed off. You want that.
Angry. He can't even talk. He's so angry.
Yeah. I'm rooting for a team now where there's more high-fiving the opposition and laughing and not caring and, rupturing tendons just by moving.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Which they're Leslie Shepard, the Giants. Tom Brady, you want that I like that grit. Mm-hmm. But he comes out and lights it up next time. I bet it. But he's also... There's a problem with Tom Brady that probably people have already talked about. This isn't sports talk.
Okay, what is it? What is it?
No, I think he maybe will not be aware if the skill set, which by its very nature at the quarterback position begins to decline. That might be something. But he's still...
You don't think he'll see that? I think he will. I think he's
I think a Tom Brady at 10% is better than 50% of the quarterbacks in the league.
But there's also a difference between destroying... yourself and your self-esteem because you have never won and you'll never win,
right.
Than to actually understanding that you can win.
Yeah, he can win. I don't know what, I didn't see the
and
game last
night. And it
just
didn't work out.
Yeah,
But also holding yourself accountable.
Right.
And saying, where did I go wrong?
I love the hyper-competitiveness. And I think people that excel in any area of life have to have that chip. They really, really do. So he's bummed. He's bummed.
Let's finish this out here.
One thing. It was a lot of things. So we got to do better in every facet of offensive football to score points. We're not going to win scoring no points.
Not going to win scoring no points, Mike. Period.
Mm-hmm. I'll take it.
Yeah. He lights him up next week.
I bet you're right. Now, I have not yet watched my go-to Christmas thing. I've not watched the Charlie Brown Christmas special yet. I finally got both my kids home this weekend. Happy 21st birthday to my Julia. Julia turns 21.
Happy birthday.
And tonight I will take her out and buy her a drink.
To Jimmy's?
No, actually we're going to a place in Leesburg that she requested.
Oh, that's sweet.
So happy birthday, Julia. 20 wonderful.
Before you leave.
Yes.
Pro tip. Can you please tweeze your right nostril? Because I've been staring at a hair all show.
Okay.
You got a hanger?
No boogers. Just a big hair.
No, a hanger hair. A hair.
Well, can you pull it now?
No.
It would make me feel so much better.
Why don't you pull it, Oscar?
Yeah, go ahead, Oscar. Help yourself.
I'll pull. If I had tweezers, I'd do it.
Go get it.
No, I'm not going up there.
Is it my right nostril?
It's your right. Your right
scissors.
Nostril.
Scissors.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Right there. Pull it.
Is that it?
It's gone.
Yeah.
Yes. We're good.
There you go.
You could have put that in the trash can.
Yeah, you animal.
Well, Mike,
you
the put that- trash can's almost full. Oh, I got to do this because I set it up already. They did this thing that was trending again. It's a few years old, but it was trending on YouTube this weekend. This is if the Peanuts got together as adults. So this is, and it's animated.
You mean this is the Charlie Brown cartoon?
Yeah, but adult.
Right. It's animated, but they've come back as adults. So Charlie Brown sees Lucy.
Charlie Brown? Holy hell. The old blockhead comes back from the big city.
Hey, Lucy, how are you?
I've got the double D's. Divorced and diabetic.
Oh, okay.
Boring adult stuff. Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, wah. Good grief.
Hey, blockhead. Wanna kick the football for old time's sake?
Go f*** yourself.
Mike, that's all I got.
So great.
That's,
all
that's good. That's a good.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Leaving
sound. I like that. That's coming in. He didn't get fooled again with old Lucy pulling that ball away.
No.
That's funny. Hey, thank you so much to our wonderful guest today and certified first civilian crew astronaut Dr. Cyan Proctor. Wonderful, wonderful lady. And if you want to check out a great documentary, it's Countdown on Netflix, and it tells the whole story of it, just how special she and all of the astronauts were on the SpaceX mission. Really amazing stuff. And check it out. You'll like that. And that's it. We got to get out of here. We have a special show tomorrow. Do a little Christmas fun there. And then, of course, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Eastern time, it is our special holiday free bonus show, cocktail party, extrava jingle jangle ganza.
Right. Jingle ball.
For Spiewak and Oscar Santana. I'm getting sick.
No.
This is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Crimble.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hello! Why, we love
there, Santa Claus. Come and stay with us.
I think it would be simply charming.